One verse tonight, one very familiar verse out of Luke chapter 23. And I look in verse 33. Look at what your Bible says. And when they were come to the place, which is called what? What's your Bible say right there? Calvary. You know, that's the only place in your King James Bible that you'll find the word Calvary. One time that you find that word. It says, when they were come to the place, which is called Calvary, there they crucified him. And the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for helping us tonight. Lord, for the help that you've already gave in the singing, what a joy it has been to already be here to sing all them songs about the blood tonight. And boy, what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And thank you for that tonight. Thank you tonight, Lord, that you're still good to us. And in spite of how bad we are sometimes and how we mess things up sometimes, but you're still good to us and we thank you for that. It's time now for preaching, and Lord, we certainly need a touch from you and just need you to come by for just a little while. Need you to give us an unction from the Holy One, and Lord, we're looking to heaven for just help. And if there's one here lost, I pray that you'd save them this evening. And Lord, we thank you for just these folk that have come tonight. Lord, what a joy it is just to gather together with your people, and I see their smiling faces tonight. It's good to be here. And Lord, I pray you've been honored already. You'll be honored in this message. And Lord, we just strive and need your help tonight and save that sinner's nearest tail. Help somebody that needs help, whether it's direction or comfort, or whatever it may be. I pray they'll find it in you. For these things in Jesus' name, we do ask and do pray. Amen. And amen. You'll be seated tonight. As we look at this scripture right here, as they were taking Jesus and that to Calvary, and that to crucify him. And they've got him there, and at least in everywhere else in the scripture and everywhere else in the four gospels, the other three gospels, that place is called Golgotha. And it's a place of the skull that the Bible tells us. And tonight Rome was in the wholesale business, if you let me say that, and that of crucifying people. That's what they done. But when they crucified Jesus, as they took him to Calvary, and they hung him up between the heavens and the earth in open naked shame. When they hung that man up, listen, he was different than anybody else. He wasn't a common criminal. He wasn't a criminal anyway, friend. But listen, as they took him and said that he was a criminal, they hung him between two malefactors, two thieves. And as they took him and they hung him there, for all the world to see and to put him and that on display. If I could preach for just a minute or two, there was an old song sung years ago, and I'm going to borrow the title from it, on Thank God for Calvary. Boy, I'm tickled to death for Calvary tonight, because had it not been for Calvary, my sins would have never been forgiven. Had it not been for Calvary, friend, I'd have never known what happiness and joy down on the inside really is all about. But because this man named Jesus and that went to Calvary, I listened and died for me and you so that we could get saved. Hey, I know what happiness and true joy is all about tonight. But if I could just look at Calvary and thank God for Calvary tonight, can I say that, first of all, he went willingly. Can I tell you that Jesus went to that place willingly? They didn't make him go. They didn't force him to go. If you look over in the book of John, chapter 10, somewhere around verse 12, I ain't even paying attention to my outline right now, but John 10, look, what did he say over around verse 17? He said, therefore doth my Father love me because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man take it from me, but I lay it down to myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. I can I say that when Jesus come, listen, He come to this earth knowing that He was going to have to face Calvary one day. He come knowing what was in store for Him. He come knowing that, friend, that place was a place where my sin and your sin was going to have to be carried one day and taken and paid for at Calvary. Listen, when I think of Calvary, do you ever think of Calvary? Do you ever think about Calvary? Boy, I tell you, when I go up to the interstate sometimes and go to Knoxville, sometimes we go to Knoxville to shop, sometimes I go to the hospital up there, and somewhere around exit 76, there's a big old white cross up there on the left-hand side of the road. And I'm always reminded as I go up through there, and really any cross that I see, I'm always reminded of what Christ done for me. Hey, can I ask you tonight, do you know about Calvary? Do you know about Calvary? Listen, I grew up in church all my life knowing about Calvary. But see, there's folk out there tonight that don't know about Calvary. Can I say tonight that as Christians, we should be telling folk about Calvary. But they didn't make Him go, they didn't force Him to go. He went willingly. Ain't that a Savior tonight? Listen, He went knowing what He was going to have to go for. He and that went willingly, and that knowing that He was going to have to take and that the cup of suffering and the cup of sin upon Himself. You realize it was my sin and your sin that put Him there. Listen, you know why I'm thankful for Calvary tonight? Because it was my sin that got nailed up there. It was my sin. Listen, not only my sin. Hey, listen, the Bible said in Romans chapter 3, He said that for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Listen, David said in Psalms chapter 51, in sin did my mother conceive me, and I was shapen in iniquity. He said in Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, wherefore as by one man sin into the world, death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. And so would you have to agree that we're all sinners tonight? There's none righteous according to Isaiah 6 or Romans 3. There's none righteous, no, not one. Isaiah 64, I said that all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. So every good thing that we could ever do is still filthy in the sight of God. But listen, they didn't make Him go. He went willingly. And when He went, He went knowing that He was going to have to take our sins. You know, when He got over in the Garden of Gethsemane and He said, let this cup pass from me. As He began to weep, and listen, as He began, the Bible said that His sweat became as great drops of blood. And as He approached the throne room and that in heaven, and He said, Father, I let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but Thy will be done. Can you imagine the anguish that was on Him? Can you imagine the anguish that He was carrying? Listen, it wasn't the cup of suffering that He was worried about. It was a cup of that sin. It was the cup of sin, listen, that He was going to have to carry for the whole world. Do you realize that it was at Calvary? Listen, thank God for Calvary. It was there that Jesus died for me and you and took my sin and your sin and paid for it. Look in Isaiah chapter 53 tonight. Go with me to Isaiah 53. I'll be honest with you, church, I'm thankful for Calvary tonight. I'm thankful for the old rugged cross. I'm thankful for the blood that was shed. I'll get tired here in just a minute. But in Isaiah chapter 53, we understand for you that know your Bible that, listen, this is one of the prophecies, and that concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, and Him going to Calvary. Verse 1, who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief. Do you realize he was all that for us? I mean, think just a second here, church. Listen, Jesus didn't have to come, but He did come. Jesus didn't have to go to Calvary, but He did go to Calvary. Jesus didn't have to die for my sins, but He did die for my sins. That's what's amazing. That's what's so wonderful about grace. We ought to be shouting out them right now. I mean, I'll be honest with you, church. I don't understand grace. I really don't understand it tonight. I can't wrap my mind around the grace of God that He would love a sinner so much that He'd go to Calvary and die for him. I don't understand that. I don't understand the grace of God so much that He would send His own Son, I listen in the likeness of this flesh, and send Him to die for us. I don't understand that. I can't get a hold of that. But I know it's real now. I know it's real. How you know it's real? Because He resides in my heart. Oh, mercy. Look on down here with me. He said He is despised and rejected, man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from Him. And He was despised, and we esteemed Him not. Verse 4. Surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. And with His stripes, we are healed. You understand, if you look in verse 5, notice what it said. But He was wounded. He was bruised. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. And with His stripes, His stripes. It's all about Him. It's all about Him. Calvary tonight's all about Him. It's all about Him. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on Him. Now looky here. The iniquity of us all. Boy, at Calvary. I don't know how God imputed our sin to Him. But He did. I don't know how God and that put my sin on Him, but He did. He put your sin. He put the sin of this whole world on Jesus that day. No wonder the earth shook and the lights turned out. You know, as Christ hung on Calvary and they had an earthquake, the Bible tells us that, listen, when the earthquake came, I mean God just shut the heavens off. I believe as Christ was hanging on the cross and He was barely holding on at that time. I mean, they had whipped Him and beat Him unmercifully. Listen, they had brought Him within an inch of life and then took Him to Calvary and hung Him up. And as He's up there, He said, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? So as God looked down from heaven, I really believe, church, that He turned His back on His own Son. Because that day, at Calvary, He bore our sins. He was oppressed and He was afflicted. Yet He opened not His mouth. Ain't that something? He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before shearers is none. So He openeth not His mouth. Never tried to defend Himself. Never tried to not go. Never tried to argue His way. And that out of it, He just went. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare His generation? For He was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was He stricken. And He made His grave with the wicked and with the rich in His death. Because He had what? Done no violence. Neither was any deceit in His mouth. But verse 10, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise Him. Even though he had done no wrong, even though he deserved nothing that he was getting, but yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He had put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for what? Sin. Boy, at Calvary, God looked down. And boy, as he hung there that day, an offering for sin was made. From the time that God killed the animals back there in the Garden of Eden to make some coats for Adam and Eve to cover their sin, all represented Christ Jesus the Lord all the way through. From the time he gave this and that Passover lamb that we sung about tonight, when I see the blood, I will pass over you, out of Exodus chapter 12. Listen, as that Passover lamb, and that was representation of Jesus Christ. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He had put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Then look in verse 7. And he shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. God looks down from heaven and sees what Jesus has done, and he's happy. He said, that's good. Listen, it wasn't just good enough, but it's more than enough. It's more than enough. How do you know it's more than enough? Hey, listen, he could save the whole world if the whole world would come to him. He'll save you tonight if you'll come to him. That's what's amazing tonight. He can save you if you will just come tonight. At Calvary, Jesus took my place. Thanks to Calvary. But you know, there was a night that I come to Calvary. You had to come there too one day. It's either in the daytime or the nighttime, somewhere along the line. You had to come to Calvary. You had to come to a place where you realized that you was lost and needed a Savior and had to come to Calvary. I remember the night that I got saved. Now, can I say this? There may come a time in my mind that I don't remember, but God's always going to remember. It don't matter what. Alyssa, my wife, she reminds me sometimes of how old I am. And she says, you know, our memories slip and things kind of run together and we misremember things. We do. But you know what? The one memory that God's always going to have about me is that I trusted His Son. You know, in that old song that the cathedral sung years ago on Thanks to Calvary, he talks about how different that it made on me. Well, you come to Calvary, it makes you different. You'll not be the same person that you used to be. I'm telling you, when I got saved, things begin to change on the inside of me. And I'm telling you, I've messed it up over the years. And I tell you, there's been times I've not acted like a saved person. But I'm telling you, something happened to me the night that I got saved. And it's happened to me ever since, thank God. I've been different ever since. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. But when a man, woman, boy, or girl comes to Calvary, it makes them new. Listen, it makes them new. I think about them old songs that we sing out of that red book sometimes. Listen, we sing page 305, the old rugged cross, and we sing about that. Why do we sing about that? To remember what Christ has done for us. Why do we sing a living in the shadow of the cross? So that we'll remember to live to it as close as we can. Ain't you glad you come to Calvary? There was an old song one time written, talks about that the ground is level at Calvary. That means whosoever will, let him come. That's what that means. No matter how good you've been, no matter how religious you are, you can come and get saved. No matter how bad you've been, you can come and get saved. He'll save the vilest to the best and everybody in between, He'll save them. You see why I'm so excited about Calvary? You remember one of the old songs? Boy, I wish to God that we could learn this song and get the whole world to learn it. Red, yellow, black, and white. They're all precious in His sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. He'll save anybody. I think about some of our missionaries that are overseas and even here on the home field. I'm reminded of what Brother Chris Taylor said about that over there in Thailand where that 101-year-old woman got saved. She said, I always knew there was a God. Nobody had just told me His name. They went over there and told her His name. And His name is Jesus. And if you'll trust Him, He'll save you. What do I got to believe about Jesus, preacher? Why are you preaching on this man Jesus that went to Calvary? Why do you say that you got to come to Him? Because He's the one that bore your sin and your shame tonight. When's the last time that you were thankful for Calvary? Church, I want you to look at me for just a second. Everybody cross the house. When's the last time that you just knelt down somewhere or maybe you just raised your head up to heaven? Ever how you pray and you just said, Lord, I just want to thank You for dying for me. That I don't have to die and go to hell. That I can have joy and happiness and hope down on me. You know, He's the hope giver. This world is struggling to want hope so bad and they're grasping at hope. And if they had just come to Christ Jesus, the Lord, at Calvary, He'd give them hope tonight. Romans 15, the Apostle Paul said, Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Well, I'm telling you, when you believe, you get peace and joy from the God of hope. Ain't that something tonight? Now, I want to tell you something. I didn't understand all that when I got saved. There's still a lot of things I don't understand about salvation. But as I grew and I matured in Him, I had to learn. I'm still learning about what I've got in Christ. I'm still learning about all this stuff. I hope I never quit learning or want to try and learn. But what a great day it was. I'm telling you what a great day it was when I just got some things settled and just settled out in my mind and in my heart about salvation. That He done it all, took care of it all, and all I had to do was come and ask. He said, Preacher, it's got to be harder than asking. It ain't. You come and ask, what was it that the Philippian jailer come out there and asked Paul and Silas, he sprung in with a light over there into the jail. Boy, after he was on the doorstep of death, of killing himself, and Paul cried out, Do thyself no harm, we're all here. And he sprung in with a light, the Bible said, and fell down before him and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. He went to Calvary. They put Him in a tomb. And on the third day, He got up. That's what you believe. That's what you trust. See, you say, is it really that simple? It's really that simple. I wished I would have realized that years ago. The night that I got saved, I just come to an altar and asked God to save me. And can I say tonight, there is no magical prayer. I just come and as one preacher said, I just prayed the best way that I knew how to God to save me. I knew I was lost and I knew I needed to get saved. I know how to pray. But I knew that if I got down on my knees and listened and I prayed to God and asked Him to save me, I knew He'd do it. That much I knew and that much I believed. Thanks to Calvary. Things are different. Thanks to Calvary, I'm saved. Thanks to Calvary, I've got hope and joy and peace on the inside. Thanks to Calvary, I'm going to heaven. Jesus said in John 14 and 6, He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. He's the way to get there. Because of Calvary, I get to go to heaven. You know what? When I face death, and it's coming, I hope it's a long time from now, but it's coming. I hope we go out in the rapture. Amen. I do, man. I hope I hear, come up hither and the trumpet blows and the horn sounds. Hey, I told y'all that story one time coming from UT, didn't I? I was coming from UT, coming back in toward Alcoa. And you know, if you're coming from up at UT Hospital and coming back into Alcoa, do you know that there's a set of railroad tracks over there on the right-hand side of the road over there in the woods? I forgot. I knew they were over there, but I had forgot. And about the time that I was coming through one little section of it right there, man, there was a train coming this way. And I didn't know he was over there in the woods. And about the time he got to where I was, he sat down on that horn. I thought I was leaving here. I thought the rapture had done took place. You know, that's what I'm waiting on. I'm waiting on that thing. I'm waiting to hear the trumpet sound. But you know what? If I don't ever hear the trumpet sound, if I don't ever hear it, it's okay. If you go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he tells us over there that he has gave us victory in him. You know, because of Calvary. But thanks be unto God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of Calvary, I have victory over death. He said in Revelations 1:18, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore and have the keys of death and of hell. Amen. I don't have to worry about that stuff. David said in Psalms 23, Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. When's the last time, church, that we gave thanks for Calvary? They said, Lord, I just want to thank you. Dwell on that thing for a little while and just give thanks for Calvary. I'm thankful tonight, church. When's the last time that we ever, what Hebrews say, by Him, therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. When's the last time we ever done that? When's the last time we've told the old, old story about Calvary? I encourage you tonight, if you've never been saved, you need to come to Calvary. You need to trust Christ Jesus to save you. If you're saved tonight, then you ought to give thanks for Calvary. And say, Lord, I'm glad I come there one day and I got my sins took care of. You know, the Bible tells us over there that He is a propitiation not for our sins. Oh, that word propitiation means that He took the wrath. That's what it means. He took the wrath. He's not only the propitiation for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. If you've never been saved, I encourage you to come and get saved. Now, let's bow our heads tonight. Thanks to Calvary. Thanks to Calvary. Jacob, give us some music, son. Thanks to Calvary. Let's stand to our feet, but keep our heads bowed across the house tonight, if we would. If you've never been saved, I want you to come tonight. I'll meet you right down here. Listen, if you've never been saved, tonight's your night. You need to come and trust Christ Jesus, the Lord, to save you. He wants to save you. He stands ready to save you. He stands with His arms open wide and says, if you'll come. He said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Oh, He wants to might want to come and pray and just thank God for Calvary, that you ain't who you used to be. Some of you all are drastically different tonight because of Calvary. Some of you tonight, listen, your whole home changed because you're saved. Things are different in your home tonight. because of salvation. Because of Calvary. Because Jesus was there. Some are praying up here tonight. If you'd like to come, why don't you come?